Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Mark, this organization and city had the honor of hosting the draft last June. And how much pride did you take in the fact that the league has to recognize what this franchise and organization has done to be considered for that, especially with all they've accomplished? And how much drafting and scouting has to do with that?
Well, I think it was a it is an honor, really, for the franchise to be chosen for the scouts and really for the city of Chicago to be able to host it and to put on an event. And I think that the, you know, the Blackhawks were able to put on an event that we hadn't seen before with the fans, you know, outside the fan center, inside, just the whole show. I thought it was outstanding.
So right now you're in town, at a rare time you're in town here, because you're all over the map here, both here and abroad, going through scouting meetings. What kind of things in general are you doing at this stage with the draft still, you know, 7-8 months away?
Well, what we've done now was we've brought in all the amateur scouts from throughout North America and in Europe. And really what we're here, this is our first time we're getting together as a group. It's really kind of a fact-finding. We'll discuss the players. We'll talk about the players, try to give each player a definition, identify them, get a little dialogue on the players, and really start to look at them both as players on the ice and their character off the ice.
Like I say, you're still seven, eight months out, but is there already some type of clarity in terms of how good this class is, perhaps at certain positions, perhaps from whether it's, you know, Americans or overseas? Is there any clarity starting to take shape in terms of how deep and how strong this class may be?
I don't think this draft has really defined itself yet. There's obviously some players that have stood out that look like they're going to be at the top of the draft. I think the depth of the draft, I think from an American vantage point, I think it's very strong. It looks like the depth of the draft is very good in Europe. So really, these are kind of questions we'll talk about as a group, and we'll try to come up with an answer this week.
So obviously the dream is to pick 31st every year, but, you know, at least stay in the nothing higher than the mid-20s or anything like that. And when you get to that point, you know, above all that, when we talk about this draft class, there seem to be a few familiar last names from people who may have been big fans of hockey over the course of the last 15 or 20 years that are part of that group, right?
Yes, it's a this year there are a few names there that we've seen before. It's the names that kind of came up in their underage year, and now they've just progressed right up to their draft year. It's, you know, players and families we're familiar with.
Like the Bertuzzis and Foots and whatnot?
Well, you have the Bertuzzis, the Foots, you have the Tkachuks that are right there. So
they never seem to end.
No, and, you know, it's the type of player that's very similar to the family genes.
How do you regard with how highly do you regard with what this year's U.S. National Development Team is right now, and in terms of the strength and the potential of what that group has? Right?
Well, I think the U.S. National Development Team, I think it mirrors the draft a little bit. That there's some high quality players there, but as a whole, I think we're waiting for that team and the players on that team to kind of define themselves. And to really, and what we're going to try to do is evaluate and kind of project what kind of players we think they're going to be in the NHL.
I think at the top of that list is Jack Hughes, and he's a smaller guy, like 5'9" and a half or so, something like that. We all know Patrick Kane came in a league somewhere in that neighborhood. You have your DeBrinkets, you know, Cam Atkinsons and whatnot. I was watching a show on TSN the other day where they said, you know, it's different than 10 or 15 years ago where, you know, if you simply put a label on a guy based on size and ignore that, that's going to hurt you. The way you scout some of these smaller players based on the way the game has changed, has also changed as well, hasn't it?
It has. I don't think that size has really become the issue now that it was, say, 5 or 10, 15 years ago. The game has become so fast. The skill level is so high that, and you look at these players, whether it's Pat Kane, Alex DeBrincat, you know, they've always been undersized throughout their playing careers, as you know, young players, as Bantam players, midget players. And you look back at what they were able to do, it never handicapped them. And I think going forward, we look at a player like Hughes, I think the last thought in your mind is his size, because he's so dynamic. He's able to create so much with the puck. The speed at which he plays, it's just so obvious.
How's the Chicago area looking so far in terms of prospects for this draft?
Well, the Chicago area, when we talk about the U.S., Chicago was very much a part of it. Every year, I think, we'll expect to see many Chicago kids getting drafted.
And that's a byproduct of what the Blackhawks have done here, too, I'm sure.
Well, it's a byproduct of the Blackhawks, really, and just the love of hockey of the region.
I'm sure you take great pride when the likes, not only the DeBrincats and the Schmaltzes and the Hartmans and Haydens end up eventually making this team, but, you know, also some of the lower picks like the Krugers and the Shaws in the past. How much do you pay attention now to once these guys make it here, is it tougher to stay here, too, in order to learn from the bumps in the road along the way and, you know, learn how to accept challenges once you reach this level?
Well, it's, we look at the draft and what we're going to get out of the draft. It's a 7-round dance, and we try to go into it that we're looking for a player in every round. And some of those players, the Shaws, the Krugers, you have to look a little bit harder. But they have, they have characteristics in their character that made them very, very special is Blackhawks. So I think this is, we look back and we can learn from what our successes were, but we look back and we can learn from, maybe in times that we were wrong in our projections.
When back in 2014, when you drafted Dylan Sakura in the 6th round, now there's a whole lot of attention and talk around him, but 3 years ago, what did you see in his game that convinced you to make that selection, and how has he grown to this point?
Well, Dylan, we brought Dylan into Chicago because we wanted to get to know him a little bit more. He was always, when you watched him play, he was a special player, very dynamic with the puck. He was undersized. And even when he went to college really as a true freshman. And his first year there, I'm going to think he got into about 60% of the games. And where some kids might have quit and packed it in, Dylan accepted the challenge. And, what Dylan was able to do off the ice really has made him what he is. Because on the ice, he's always been doing that. But to reach the level he is, it's a commitment he had off the ice.
So the last 2 years, over the first two rounds, three of your four picks have been on the defensive side. What kind of reports are you hearing, and what are you seeing yourself when it comes to Joakim Haru over at Portland in the Western League, and who else? We got Mitchell at Denver and Kreis over at BU.
Yeah, really all three of them. Joakim Haru has got off to a great year. I think he has a plus minus of maybe 25 or 26. I think he is leading the WHL defenseman in assists. I think he's second in defense scoring out there. He's on an incredible run. He really, I think it's his second year playing in the Western Hockey League. I think he's become very acclimated. He's in a situation that's just been perfect for him. He's been thriving. When we look at Chad Kreis, Chad's in BU. Chad's had a very good year. The team has struggled. I think unexpectedly, I think people had higher expectations of what the team would do. But I think Chad has had a positive impact, especially offensively. So,
and how about Mitchell over at Denver?
He's off to another one who's off to a very, very good start. He might be the one that's surprised me the most. We've always been very, very high on him. We were very, very high on his offensive upside. But what he's been able to do in these first few months at Denver, he is, you know, basically he's quarterbacking the power play on the number one team in the country as a freshman. That's pretty impressive.
So finally, as we wrap up here, I want to get you, when you make these selections after all the hard work you put in, do you almost feel like these players are almost your kids, almost as part of your family? And then the times they may be sacrificed in order to make a deadline deal or a trade in the offseason, how do you distance yourself from any ties you may feel with them?
Well, I think that you become very close to the players because over the course of the year, not only are we watching them play, but we're spending a lot of time getting to know them as a person, as a player, as a teammate. So you do. You look at them differently. You're obviously there's a connection. I think it's a little bit like maybe the lion with the cub. And then as they come into the organization and they acclimate, there's a little bit of separation that comes. But it's still, any time like a player like Andrew Shaw leaves or Marcus Kruger, it's part of the business. We accept it, we move on. But it gives you a little bit of pause for sure.
And the door never stops revolving anyway, right?
No, the door, it's with what we're trying to do here, we need players. And we need Chicago Blackhawk players.